and I have been doing radio since, I think, the early 1980, in fact, maybe even before 1980. And we have a marvelous new thing going on right now, and it is a docuseries that you can join in on for free. If you just go to naturalnurse.com, as soon as you click, you'll see this little video about it, and you can click on that to join. And that's a docuseries that's going to be running in a couple weeks. It will be on for 9 days, and all the episodes are free. What it is called Remedies, Ancient Medicine for Modern Illness. And as you know, if you've been listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z and our other shows or reading any of our books, we have written 15 books, that is what we have been focusing on and teaching, well, myself, since 1964. Getting to be a lot of time, much more than 50 years, as a matter of fact. And what's so wonderful is that what started as an interest and seeing that natural medicine worked has now become a focus also of research. And in the docuseries, Ancient Medicine, which you can find immediately if you go to naturalnurse.com. Just click on it and you'll see the little video. Click on that. You can sign up. There is no fee whatsoever. And it's not on yet. You know, you'll get links to actually watch it in about a week or so. You can watch any part that you want, and then they'll replay the whole thing, and it's 100% free. And it was done really well. The people who made that movie, Sacred Science, they came and interviewed me in New York, and they went around to top herbalists who have been doing this, like myself, for many, many decades, explaining exactly which herbs to use for which kind of health issue. And how much, and with links to all of us to get more information if you need it. But it's very, very science-based. And I would definitely say that you would enjoy knowing about this. And, of course, it's a great way to learn for free. So that is what I really wanted to share with you. And today we are so happy to have as our guest Dr. Mike Menalasino, MD. He's a medical doctor, and we'll call him Dr. Mark because Dr. Mark Menalasino is a little hard to say, but he is the medical director of the Mino Clinic Center for Functional Medicine in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And I remember when that word functional medicine first came into being because we were studying with Dr. Jeffrey Bland and I was the head nurse with Dr. Serafina Corsello. We had a very, very large holistic clinic both in Manhattan and Huntington, Long Island, and I was with her for 23 years. And he also has more than 35 years of healthcare experience and is one of the few physicians who is board certified as an internal medicine specialist, board certified in integrative holistic medicine and anti-aging medicine and functional medicine. So we know that Dr. Mark has been studying for decades. He also has a master's degree in pharmacology, which really increases his knowledge, and immunology, and a doctoral candidate in the medical scientist program, assisting with clinical trials of new medication. So he has also worked with Dr. Dean Ornish, and his medical knowledge is completed with advanced training and clinical experience in nutrition, naturopathic medicine, Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, and homeopathy. So welcome, Dr. Mark, to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here, and I appreciate that warm welcome.
It sounds like you have an addiction as I do. I think we share.
I'm a chronic overachiever. I'm addicted to education. I told my children that I have 27 years of education, and they about drop dead. But, you know, the kind of work we do, it's a lifetime of knowledge, and it's meeting other people like yourself and sharing and really trying to find what is it that we need to help our clients.
So with all that background, which is so impressive, and of course you operate the Menno Clinic at MennoClinic.com, and all our shows are archived. I will also send you out a link so anyone can listen to our show at any time, and we also welcome those who are joining us live today. Now, Dr. Mark, why did you choose as a focus topic for today's show childhood anxiety? Why the spike?
Well, I think we all see this increase in stress in ourselves, in our spouses, and it trickles down into our children. It seems that the levels of anxiety and stress for children are just increasing. The amount of medications that we're using are increasing. And the antidepressant, anti-anxiety drugs are the number one drugs used right now. And there are so many other options that can be used both in lifestyle and in natural medicines, herbs, as well as in medications. And so I really think that we can do a better job. I really feel like we model behavior for our children. And when I was doing my master's degree, we did a clinical trial for children with anxiety medications, and they didn't really work well, and they were loaded with side effects. And so I just felt like there has to be a better way. And so I'd like to just share with you some ideas later about what we can do as parents to help our children be less stressed, be more connected, and not need to use some of these anxiety medications. And also to show you that there's a cleaner option out there, too.
Well, we definitely will cover all of that. But I have another question for you. We're going to talk about stress and children and stress in general. But what about the vast increase in autism? And we're being told by conventional medicine that it's linked to genetics. Is that possible?
Well, the good news in our world now is the bad news. It's our genetics. And a lot of times we think if we have a certain gene, it means we're doomed to have the same destiny as our parents. The message is really different now, and there's this concept of epigenetics that was taught to us by Jeff Bland. And what epigenetics is, a big word to say that you are not your genetic destiny. You have the power to make lifestyle choices to turn on the good genes and to turn off the bad genes that you've inherited. And this really empowers people to make better health decisions because you can alter the course of your health destiny by moderating these genetic markers by making better lifestyle choices.
But you know what? I do not believe that the vast increase in autism, because we're really seeing an escalating rate, I do not believe that it's just because of better diagnostics. With the amount of children, how can that possibly be genetic if we did not see that in the human race previously?
Well, I don't think it's that our diagnostics are better. The first thing that happened was they recategorized the autism spectrum disorder. So it included a lot of other disorders that are autistic-like. So that was part of what the increase was. And I don't think it's that our genes are changed. I think it's the information our genes are seeing. And what most of us in medicine, functional medicine, integrative medicine, holistic medicine, pediatric medicine, we think it's the toxicity that's modulating this genetic expression, the toxicity that's changing the neural network connections for these children so that they don't get hardwired the right way. And I think this is why I'm concerned the problem will get worse, because the toxic load in our society is so high. They took four patients, one from each corner of the country, from four different socioeconomic backgrounds, so four very, very different people, and looked in their blood and found over 110 toxins. These four people were newborn babies. So we're born with a toxic load, and what we really want to do is to try to do nothing that's going to increase that toxic load. And we have to look at our water supplies, we have to look at the air we breathe, we have to look at the food we eat, have to look at the medications we use with the inactive ingredients, with herbs and with other medications, and just do everything we can to reduce that toxic load, and also to reduce the toxicity of stress. You know, stress is a very interesting thing. I share with my clients that, you know, if we didn't have stress in our lives, humans would still be single-cell amoebas. The stress is what pushed us out of that pool. Stress is a good thing when it's internalized right. Here in Jackson Hole, we get these incredible snowstorms, and a couple years ago, it snowed 4 feet. The first one walked in and said, "Oh, isn't it so beautiful, the snow and the trees? I just love it when it snows like this." The very next woman that walked in said, oh, my gosh, I hate these snowstorms. I'm going to slip and fall and break my neck. So the same two outer stresses had two dramatically different internalizations. So I
that's
think we can develop strategies
example.
To help
yeah, that's
cope with these stress.
Yes. So in other words, there's stress, which might be outside the system, and then how we each interpret that can be quite different. And certainly there's sort of a line from stressed out children, you know, who are having a lot of eating disorders and GI problems, even though they're not diagnosed to be on any kind of spectrum, and those who are. And I would say all of this, I like the way you call it, the body stressometer. What do you mean by the body stressometer? That's a great little mnemonic.
Well, I had a roommate in college that, actually medical school, that had anxiety and panic attacks. And when he had a panic attack, it was obvious to see. But in children, they respond differently. Sometimes it's very difficult to pick up anxiety and stress in children. It may show up as a change in appetite, a change in their sleep pattern, school performance, vague pains, muscle pains, joint pains. They may have these mood changes. They may disengage from their friends or disengage from their parents or just seem a little bit more self-focused. So children, their stressometer is different than for adults, and it's sometimes very, very subtle to pick up, and usually we don't catch it until it's been going on for quite a while.
And certainly something, as a nurse, even years ago, we were trained to notice, like bedwetting behavior.
Yes.
Very often that will start when a new baby comes in.
Yes.
And it was interpreted to be a reaction to the extra stress on that first child.
And that would make sense. You know, we are our environment. And so when you do have these changes, like moving or a new member of the family or separations or other stresses in the family, is when you really want to take time to be sure that you're getting all of the good things for children, that you're really focusing on the quality of their food, that you're getting some downtime, that you're using as little toxicity in your supplements, your medications, your food supply as possible, and that they're getting some good healthy food and good healthy snacks. It's really trying to help build in some of these easy-to-do, simple things that help them to buffer that change in their environment.
Oh, I believe that so much, especially right now and where we're at timeline-wise, as many people are facing the first day of school. Sometimes there's a new school. That, of course, initiates quite a bit of anxiety in children. And I'm really interested in the fact that you brought up food, Dr. Mark, because that is so important. And I have to say, with my children, my youngest is 40 now, my youngest, I did not have choices in the house. I only had organic, healthy food. And I got a lot of pushback from that. They used to say, my friend's coming over. Can't we have junk food here? I go, no. it was my house. It wasn't a democracy. When they got old enough to buy their own food, they could go ahead and get junky food. So not everybody handles it that way. But if children are used to eating only junk food, and a lot of those contain chemical ingredients that are made to be addictive, it's not so easy to introduce healthy foods.
Well, you're so right. And one of the first things you have to do for whatever you put in your body or in your children's bodies is turn it over and look at the ingredients. You'll be shocked to see how many foods have things that should never be there. Some of these heavy metal dyes, like the FTC yellow number 4 is a tartrazine dye, which has been linked to hypersensitivity in kids. So we know that there's chemicals that are in the processed foods that just aren't good for us. Interestingly, I believe in Europe there's only 11 food additives that are banned. I'm sorry, in Europe there's over 1,500 food additives that are banned. In the U.S. there's only 11 food additives that are banned. We're allowing preservatives and additives and toxins and parabens and phthalates and things like talc, let alone things like gluten and lactose, into our food supplies and even into our medicines. Many people don't realize that a lot of the medications they take have a lot of those toxic ingredients in them, and they're just contributing to that toxic load on their children by giving them to them. So
it's a very easy thing to find out. You can just ask your pharmacist for the insert, the full insert, and it's listed there under other ingredients, like a giant paragraph of all kinds of things that often cause the thing that you're trying to treat with that medication. It is that out of balance.
Absolutely. And, you know, the package insert you mentioned is one of the hardest things to read. If anyone's ever taken one off a pharmaceutical prescription bottle and unwrapped it, it's like reading the Rosetta Stone. It's very, very difficult to read. But what you can do is in all the over-the-counters and in your foods is just turn them over because all the inactive ingredients are listed, and you'll be shocked at what they're putting in some of these medications.
Yes, you mentioned tartrazine, yellow dye number 5. And that actually causes, among many other things, bronchial spasms, and yet it's in some asthma medications. You really have to wonder, you know, who are the brains working on these projects?
Well, I think that's such a great point. And if that's the one we know about, then you really wonder, what about the other ones that we don't know about? And we mentioned genetics, and some people are exquisitely sensitive to some of these additives and preservatives, but in general, they're just not a good idea for anybody to be taking them.
This is so true. On the other side, I have to say that there is pressure, and this would be considered stress also, right? Good stress. So many people, let's say from when I started in this, which was 1964 to now, so many more people are aware and are making healthier choices, and I think that is pushing the easier availability of things that you might choose that are healthier. For instance, even national brands, I'll name one like Stop and Shop. That's a big, big known entity in terms of grocery stores. They have now their own brand called Nature's Promise. Well, why would they even have done that? I don't think it's because they got a spiritual revelation. I think it's because they're tracking spending and find that people are often choosing to make better choices, which is good news.
Well, I think a lot of this starts with parents. And I had the good fortune of meeting two dads who just thought that there could be a better way. And they formed a company called Genexa, which is the first organic non-GMO pharmaceutical company in the world. And when I heard that, as I know you are so passionate about using clean supplements and nutraceuticals and herbs, that the pharmaceutical companies had not caught on to this. Most pharmaceutical medications, if not all, have some toxic inactive ingredients in them. They have phthalates and parabens and talc and these FTC heavy metal dyes, and they just don't need to be there. So these two dads formed a company called Genexa Health, and what they do is they make these line of initially 11 homeopathics, and then they're moving into some of the over-the-counter meds. They're trying to clean up the pharmaceuticals and trying to clean up medications. And it just makes sense to me that we would finally have clean medications. So when we do need to turn to something for allergies or for calm or for stress, that you have something that is clean versus using these dyes and such. And I think about all the clean food that you were putting in your house. And if you had to use something that was a medication and be almost sabotaging all the good work you do with the food. And I see that being such a key. And there's really no reason to use a toxic medication anymore. There's going to be these better choices. And really for kids in stress, it comes down to how much toxic load they get. And it's the clean food that we want to give them. Clean air, clean water, clean food as much as you can. But when you're going to use a medication, it just doesn't make sense that you wouldn't go find a clean one like Genexa Health.
Now, so that is a good idea to actually formulate things that are available and leave out what we don't need, whether they are proven to be toxic or not.
Exactly. And that's one thing I like about homeopathic medications is that they're safe by nature. You can't overdose on them. But it would make sense, like what Genexa did, they made a calm keeper for ages 3 and up and a stress relief for really ages 3 and up and up to 12. But this calm keeper and stress relief are easy, safe choices that are non-toxic that we can use for kids to help them as a buffer for this stress, this irritability, anxiety, difficulty, concentrate. And I think if you combine something like that with the kind of food you filled your house with, And then we also give some downtime and some connection time. That could be the secret to start to reduce some of these anxious behaviors, these high-stress behaviors, and it may reduce the acceleration of some of the other disorders that we're seeing.
I would say that it would certainly be a good choice. You know, of course, combining it with healthy food, and then when we need remedies, using remedies that are natural. And I always use homeopathy. I don't think I could have gotten through parenthood. I actually had a homeopathic first aid kit, and yeah, I used it all the time, both to address actual symptoms. You know, my own children, like I said, are in their 40s, so this isn't yesterday. And I never once gave them any pharmaceutical drug, ever. No antibiotic, no anything else. Now, it doesn't mean they never got little normal childhood issues. I just had all the herbs available and a homeopathic first aid kit. And homeopathy was so excellent with children because it seems to work very quickly, and also you can get them to take it, because are the ones that you're talking about, Dr. Mark, from Genexa, do they taste good so children don't have an issue taking them?
They absolutely do. They're just little chewables that are easy for kids to take. They have a good taste, but it's not a good taste from an artificial flavoring or from an artificial coloring. That's the beautiful part about it. It's all non-GMO, organically sourced ingredients that got rid of the phthalates and the parabens and these dyes and these artificial flavorings. So the power of homeopathy, as you mentioned, can be very helpful when you're treating your children. And it just makes even more sense, if you're going to do that, to use the clean version that's available now for the first time with Genexa. And I find these products work really, really well. I love the idea of homeopathics. I had a parent in yesterday that was talking about her child had a fever, and how her neighbor told her to go get some fever-reducing medication at the pharmacy. And she said, well, we're going to do some sponge baths. We're going to use some natural methods to try to let the fever not get too high. If it gets over 103 or 4, then she might got more worried, but it got to 102 and the sponge bath calmed it down. It was the body's natural reaction to a virus. And so again, using some of these natural ways to protect the body rather than jumping right into it and trying to give a medication. That's why I think the homeopathic medicines make sense, because a lot of times it helps the body come back into alignment rather than beat it down with the medication. And again, if you're going to use them, there's no reason not to use the new clean one from Genexa.
And that's what we did all the time. And just amazing how well it works, and that it's amazing that it's not standard of practice. That's what my life's work is at this point in my life and my career, is making these things standard of practice. Why? Because they have a much better risk-benefit ratio than most pharmaceutical drugs, and they are more cost-effective and more effective. So I have no idea why there is a block to actually moving these into standard of practice. We have to take a little break right here, Dr. Mark, and when we come back, we will be reintroducing you, telling our listeners to go to menoclinic.com, that's menoclinic.com, to find out more about Dr. Mark. And we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss Sarsaparilla, or Smilax officinalis.
Sarsaparilla is a tropical plant which grows in South America, Mexico, and Guatemala. Although most Americans are familiar with it as a flavor enhancer for root beer, it has also been used for its beneficial properties for hundreds of years by many different cultures. In Roman times, the young shoots were eaten, and the mature vines were worn as garlands at festivals of Bacchus. According to ancient Roman writings, Sarsaparilla originated when the beautiful maiden, Smilax, was turned into a shrub after her love was slighted by the young crocus.
Sarsaparilla was brought to Europe in the 16th century by Spanish traders. A French physician, Nicolas Monardus, published a comprehensive account of Sarsaparilla as a treatment for syphilis in 1574. During Portuguese military operations in 1812, a British inspector general of hospitals noted its positive effect on syphilis patients. It has also been used in China for treatment of the same condition. Sarsaparilla was included in the United States Pharmacopoeia until 1950 as a recommended treatment of secondary syphilis.
Sarsaparilla's medicinal action appears to be a result of binding bacterial endotoxins in the gut, thereby decreasing their absorption. This greatly reduces the stress on the liver and is likely responsible for its historic use as a tonic and blood purifier.
In a controlled study of 92 patients published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1942, a chemically active component of sarsaparilla called sarsaponin greatly improved psoriasis in 62% of the patients and resulted in complete clearance in 18%. Sarsaparilla is often recommended by naturopathic physicians for gout, arthritis, and psoriasis. Another folkloric use for sarsaparilla is as a tonic for male sexual potency.
So, if you want a root beard flavored tea with a long history as a healthy tonic, reach for the sarsaparilla in your natural medicine chest.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Nurse, and as always, we're wishing you the best right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I'd like you to have an invitation to join us for a free docu-series. It's called Remedies, Ancient Medicine for Modern Illness. And if you go to naturalnurse.com, right now the front page opens. You don't have to do anything else with a click, so you can click right to it. There's a little movie there. You'll see the little docuseries movie. And then it's coming up. It's going to be 9 hours. It's 100% free. And the producers actually went around the country, including to my house, to interview a lot of the herbalists in the country who have been doing this for years to talk about plant medicine and how you can incorporate that into your life. We're not talking about any kind of bottles or pills or brands. We're just talking about plants that grow outside, many of which you can actually pick yourself, some of which you can seek elsewhere, and how to use it for yourself and your family. So if you'd like to join us for that docuseries, just go to naturalnurse.com, sign up today, and then they'll be sending you your listen and view. This is a video, so it's a documentary video to the series. So I want to thank you for joining us today with our show with Dr. Mark Menolisino, MD, Medical Director of the Menno Clinic Center for Functional Medicine, and you can find him at mennoclinic.com. Dr. Mark has an incredible array of certifications and specialty in holistic medicine. Dr. Mark, obviously, you're a medical doctor, so when you got your training, Were these teachings introduced to you, or how did you get to be so involved in integrative medicine?
Well, thank you for asking, and I love hearing your story, too. It's really, I love moms that work so hard to provide clean and healthy options for their children because our kids model that behavior. My father was a psychiatrist. There's four doctors in my family. All three boys are internal medicine specialists. But when I was in high school, Dean Ornish came to Omaha, Nebraska, and he showed us this heart disease reversal program where he took 100 men that had heart attacks and had blockages and were scheduled for bypass surgery. He talked them out of it, taught them how to eat right, how to exercise right, how to deal with stress, how to have good love and support in their lives. And guess what? Those people did better than the people that had surgery. So I saw that there was a different option from when I was 19. So I started to carve a path to get all the tools. Internal medicine is the most rigorous medical training as far as diagnostic skills, so I wanted to do that. And I've worked in intensive care units. I've worked on main hospital floors. But along the way, I met with Andrew Weil, Dean Ornish, picked up the integrative skills, the holistic skills, did naturopathic training, acupuncture training, Ayurvedic training, homeopathic training. I wanted to have a toolbox so that when you come to see me, I have all the tools that we may need that fit your belief system for your care. So it's a real precision-based, personalized care that utilizes all of the resources available, not just a simple medication. And that's what's so interesting about the homeopathics, because they were put in the physician's desk reference, the big pharmacy book, when it was started, and they are listed as medicines, but they have incredibly low chance of side effect. They're very easy to dose. They're easy to take. And I think the way that you've used those is just a testament to how well they work. And again, you've raised children that see the power of that, and they'll raise children that'll see the power of the same. So a lot of us are worried about this next generation of children. I'm actually excited because people like my 17-year-old daughter, Juliet, they get it. They see what good food does, what bad food does. They see the toxicity in our food supplies, and they're asking for and making better choices. So it's been a very interesting path, and I encourage anyone who's in medicine to be open-minded, to look at these other options, because I think it's not a us against them, it's we're all in this together. And using all of the resources together make the most sense. But it's this concept of toxicity and toxic load which really got me to look at this pharmaceutical company. I never thought I would work for a pharmaceutical company, but when I found that someone figured out how to make it organic with non-GMO inactive ingredients and still work, it was a game changer. So I'm very excited about
really
that.
That is really good, and we'll shout that out again. That is Genexa Pharmaceuticals. Now, let's get a little to what I think might meander into a political discussion. Prudent medicine, good medicine, evidence-based medicine is what we should all be practicing, just like you said, not us versus them. But why are we now seeing homeopathy in particular and herbs for many years, challenges by the FDA, which will actually make it much more difficult for people to understand how and why they might want to use homeopathics, let alone a doctor prescribing it?
Well, that's a great question, and part of why I wanted to go into internal medicine training is I wanted to be able to stand up here and tell you the latest double-blind, placebo-controlled, multi-center international trial that proved this is the right thing to do. The problem is we're treating kind of bell-shaped curves when we do that. We're treating population averages, and we lose focus on each unique individuality, and that's where I think the beauty of the homeopathics and some of the herbals, it allows people who know how to use them to really personalize to that individual. It's almost instead of a placebo-controlled trial, which we have to use evidence-based medicine to help us make good decisions, but at the end of the day, we're treating the person standing in front of us. And sometimes what may work best for that person, instead of an anxiety drug for a child, perhaps one of Genexa's Calm Keeper or Stress Relief as a homeopathic. Try that first. And try the clean versions like what they make. So I think, again, you have to use evidence-based medicine to get started. But at the end of the day, I take care of one person at a time, and sometimes that one person in front of me is going to do better by not doing the medication that was proven in a trial, but by doing something natural that's more in tune with their belief system and their body. And I see that, frankly, it works better, especially if the person who gives it to them knows exactly what they're doing. I think, you know, if you don't know herbal medicine, then get some training in it before you start doing herbal medicine. And same with regular medicine. That's why we have 27 years of school. But I think the evidence-based medicine is a great start, but at the end of the day, we're treating that one person in front of us. And that's where the power of this individualized care and where herbal medicine and homeopathics have so much power to bear.
Yes, I would say that's a good explanation, but rather kind, because I really actually think it's more diabolical, and that it is more of a very specific and purposeful and political movement on basically the pharmaceutical companies, which, of course, if we look at the FDA, there's something called a revolving door, which is very real, where the people sitting on the FDA are from the pharmaceutical companies directly, and when they leave the FDA, they go right back into the pharmaceuticals, and we see a lot of the regulatory language and actions look like they're very much to promote the use of pharmaceutical drugs and at the same time squelch the use of natural therapies.
Well, I think that's probably been going on since the beginning of time, and you are right, we do see that type of revolving door. What I would encourage your listeners to do is on Netflix are some fantastic documentaries about clean food, about clean medicines, and I think they're really helpful to get other perspectives. You know, there's no easy answer to that question, and I think what we need to do is to find practitioners for our families that are more interested in treating us than in making money from other people. At the end of the day, that it's about that person in front of you. And I think this is going to be probably an issue that we're not going to solve immediately. And so it's really learning as much as you can as a parent about how to help your children with this idea of stress management, being able to recognize it in them, being able to teach them how to recognize it in themselves, providing more downtime for the family. You know, I see this concept of overscheduling kids.
Well, now you're bringing up probably the biggest word in treatment of kids, and that is family. Because, like I have taught so many patients, and I've had probably, and for 35 years of practice, I've had 35,000 patients at least. And what we see is if you do want to work with a child and increase their overall bottom line in terms of health, you know, it's not like everybody else gets to eat junk food and then you buy, you know, vegetables just for this child. It's really a matter of the entire family getting on board with a change in, like you're talking about, behavior, overscheduling, junk food, all of the entire scene.
Yeah, I think you're so right about that. And I was fortunate. When I grew up, I'm from a family of six children. We had a big round table, and my mom would ring the bell at 6 o'clock, and we'd all sit down and have dinner together. And that's what I looked forward to most in my day, is the ability to sit with my siblings, my parents, talk about the day. We seemed to hash out our frustrations. And if something wasn't going right for one of my brothers or sisters, we could tell. They were more quiet. They didn't eat as much. And we didn't pick on them. We supported them, and I think that this concept of family time, downtime, and the overscheduling, I do think you combine that with just the hectic pace of our society, the financial stresses on so many parents, and then the electronics can't be dismissed either. I think.
Oh boy, that's new, and you're so right. Bring that in.
Yeah, and you know, I see so many parents with their children at restaurants all on their iPhones and not talking to each other, or two teenagers sitting back to back texting each other. Just this sense of connectivity.
But it's sad, and it is so true. Now, tell our listeners, in case they want to look up, how do you spell Genexa?
It's GENEXA.com. And they're sold online at GenexaHealth.com. Also on Amazon, as well as Sprout, CVS, GNC. They're in 40,000 retailers. So it's two fathers, and this is what's attracted me to this mission. Is that it was two fathers who had children and looked at what was in the inactive ingredients in other kids' remedies and realized how toxic they were and decided to make a difference. These two dads are changing the pharmaceutical world. I was at a conference recently, and one of my favorite people are supermoms and the mommy bloggers, the women that share all this information, like all the knowledge you have that you would share with your other friends. They're the ones that are really making a difference and sharing great information. And she was telling me how gluten-free she was and all the great things she did. And then I asked her what medication she was on, and she told me. And I said, well, you know that that medication has gluten in it. And then I asked her what color it was, and she said it was pink. And I said, well, you know, it's a heavy metal dye that's dyed it, so the pharmacist knows what color that dose is. She was shocked. She was doing so much right, but she was taking the medication that had gluten in it and had a heavy metal dye every single day. So even so, she was working so hard to be so clean, she was essentially making herself toxic in a little bit every single day. And once she found that out, she shared it with all their friends, and there are clean versions through companies like Genexa, and you'll see more and more come out with them. And I think, again, for kids, for this concentration, this stress, this anxiety, we don't have good solutions. I did the clinical trials on these. I didn't see the medicines work that well, and I saw a huge number of side effects. Why would we not try something that has so little side effect?
You were talking about like the regular pharmaceutical drugs.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah, you're right. And there is a movement now towards what's called compounding pharmacies. For instance, I work with someone in Huntington, Long Island. It's called Main Source Pharmacy. And they actually, if you do need a therapeutic dose of a pharmaceutical, they make it and they just leave out all those unnatural components.
Yeah, I think the compounding pharmacies have a good place to play in this. They tend to be a little expensive as their downside.
That is true. On the other hand, though, she has found that because she doesn't work with that intermediary that's always involved with the cost of drugs, even if you – in fact, they did a great thing on 60 Minutes about a week ago about that, that when people walk in and buy very often from these private pharmacies, they're able to charge less than you pay with your copay if you pay through your insurance for a lot of the pharmaceuticals. But you're right, because when they're compounding it themselves, they have to purchase it at a much more expensive cost to not have – the junk in it. You're so right.
Yeah. And it's interesting at where some of this information is giving to our patients. I had a client come out of a cancer center. She's 22-year-old. And she met with a dietitian who told her to get less sugar in her diet. And her answer to doing that, she told the client to do Lucky Charms and Cheerios as a mix as her breakfast.
Oh, my God.
Rather than just Lucky Charms by itself.
Oh.
And I was somewhat shocked that would be the best advice that you could give to a young woman that has cancer about nutrition. So, you know, what we think about with kids is I feel like our schools could do a better job, and a lot of parents are just becoming empowered to do it themselves. And it's really the snacks that you give kids can be so crucial. You're looking for things like bananas, avocados that have calming magnesium, potassium. Looking at the crunchy vegetables like carrots and celery, put a little nut butter to get a little bit of protein in there for them. In my house, we use a little bit of dark chocolate as a treat, sometimes after a meal. It has some serotonin release that helps with the sleep. So there are good choices like you've made with your kids, and it's really looking at those snacks and at the food that we're putting out. And I what I see with my daughter and her friends, they're modeling our behavior of good food. They see it. It's becoming more and more available, and it's becoming more and more affordable. We make a breakfast smoothie, which is basically a $3.45 protein shake in the morning that's got the vegetables and fruits and all the nutrients that we need. And, again, I think keeping in these snacks for kids, not letting them go hours and hours and then giving them a sugary snack, but using these protein snacks like celery, carrots with some nut butter, or some of these things like avocados, trying to get bananas, these other things that are nutrient-rich into their bodies, but also thinking about, are they getting the protein source that they need? That's really what keeps
information. We're going to take another little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Mark. He's the medical director of the Menno Clinic at Menno Clinic, MENOclinic.com, so you can find out more about him. And stay tuned. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
founder of the Progressive Radio Network. Today we have more than 80 producers bringing forth the most progressive and most liberating information, the kind of information you do not regularly hear on any of the mainstream or alternative media. You can help us now. Up to this point, I have virtually supported the Progressive Radio Network, all of its expenses and payroll, myself. But we would like to expand our reach. We'd like to do far more. We'd like to be able to advertise on Facebook and let others know we exist. We are the number one progressive radio network in the world. In fact, we have programs that are most listened to in all of progressive radio. But we could go a lot further. Our message could reach a lot more people, especially at a time when people are desperate for honest, objective insights on the important topical issues of our day. How can you help? It's simple. Go to prn.fm, go to our main page. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little button, Support Now. And then whatever you can contribute on a monthly basis will make a big difference. It will help get the message out. It will help inform more people, will give them more choices. This is where you'll hear in the independent candidates and the people looking to challenge the corruption in government and industries. But we need to get our reach out further. So please, whatever you can afford on a monthly basis, and there's some suggestions there, and it'll be automatic. All right? Thank you very much for continuing to help us help you and the rest of the world on these important issues.
To PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Kamai, the natural nurse. You can always find us at naturalnurse.com. And if you visit naturalnurse.com, you can sign up for the free docuseries, Remedies, Ancient Medicine for Modern Illness. And we just heard Gary Null request that you visit prn.fm. There's a big donation button there. We are doing a shout out. We spend very little time doing anything like that, but if you're a listener, and I know this show has over 300,000 listeners, which is wonderful and welcome, that we are having a shout out right now for a donation to help support the station and getting this kind of information out to a larger mainstream audience, and boy, do they need it. And our guest today is Dr. Mark Menalasino. You can find him at his website at minoclinic.com. And he's been discussing with us a lot of things about children as well as the trickle-down effects of stress and how to use natural remedies such as GenexaHealth.com homeopathics to help balance this, along, of course, with lifestyle. And Dr. Mark, thank you so much. You were talking about foods and snacks. And again, isn't it better if the whole family does that rather than, you know, have all junk food for everyone and only this one child trying to give them carrot sticks?
Oh, absolutely. I think about when we find a child that needs to be gluten-free for their health, and then the entire family adopts it, and everybody gets healthy.
Isn't that great?
Their joints don't hurt as much. They're more engaged. Their grades go up. They sleep better. So it's interesting when you get the whole family engaged, it's easier for that one child, but it also brings the family together as a bonding unit. You know, our kids model our behavior. So they really see what we're doing, what our choices are. And it's just so important that they see the behavior that we want to do, because they'll adopt that. And I see that so often. And that's why, again, I was talking about, I call them the super moms, these moms that are working full-time, raising kids, doing everything at the house, just doing so much, but still taking the time to be sure they're making good choices in clean foods, clean medicines, clean support, and having that downtime and that connectivity. I kind of like to encourage families to just sit around and pick one thing they're not going to do and just have a downtime.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Rather than pick out all the different things we're
going to
do.
In other words, I understand that because I do basically six different radio shows, and recently I have decided to narrow the shows. And this show is staying on, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, right here on Progressive Radio Network. But, you know, there is a time when you have to choose what you're going to do with your time. You can't really do everything.
Well, you know, I've been in healthcare for 35 years, but I have huge respect for you, huge respect for people like Dean Ornish, who's a mentor and a friend, Gladys McGarry, who I met in Phoenix while I was training, who started the American Holistic Medical Association. These are the giants whose shoulders I feel like I get to stand on. And then it's also the everyday people that just want to make a difference, like these two dads for this pharmaceutical company that were told you can't make an organic non-GMO carrier for these homeopathics and for medications. It's not, they were told you can't do it. They spent several years figuring it out, and they did it, and they found a way to do it, and It's the ingenuity that parents have due to the love and passion they have for their kids that can move any mountain. And I was, as my other medical advisory boards, we have a rock star team, Kellyanne Pertucci, Taz Bhatia, Joel Kahn, Amy Shaw, that are advisors on our Genexa pharmaceutical team because they didn't think this was possible either, that someone could make an organic non-GMO medication, and it's now being done, and we're supporting it because we all feel that this idea of toxicity is creeping into our worlds, and we really have to look around at what's in our house, what's in our relationships, what's in our lifestyle. How do we detoxify our lives so that we can detoxify our children?
Yes, that's true, and I'm looking at the Genexa website, and like you said, it's Genexa Health. And we're looking at what they're using as inactive ingredients, and that's something that you can do on any supplement that you have or any drug that you have. You know, you can find that listed. On the drugs, I have to say, even on the regular bottle, doctor, they often hide it. Like you have to pull up on the OTCs,
yes,
on that little, I don't know what you call it, a tab on the label. I'm sure most people never do. If you go now to your drug cabinet, well, mine has nothing in it, but if yours has stuff in it, you rip that out. There are these paragraphs full of junk. And in the Genexa, what we're seeing is organic acai berry, organic maltodextrin, organic rice bran extract. These are the added ingredients on top of the homeopathic, instead of seeing red dye and yellow dye and all the stuff that you will see.
Well, they're all organic, non-GMO, sustainably sourced is the other key for this. The people that run Genexa, they have a nonprofit called Thirst, and they're giving back. They don't want moms and dads to have to go to the store and get these toxic ingredients and give them to their kids. It's interesting. My first epiphany in toxic additives was my first day at the intensive care unit here in Jackson Hole. The two intensive care nurses walked up to me with a bedpan with something rattling in it. And they said, "Are you that new crazy nutrition doctor that's coming in?" I said, "Yes." And he held out the bedpan and rattled. I said, "Well, what is that?" And it was one of the leading multivitamins that you buy at a big box store, one of those generic multivitamins. And I said, "What?" They went right through the patient into the bedpan. So I looked at the bottle and the inactive ingredients, there was 46 of them. 8 of them I couldn't pronounce, and I have a master's degree in pharmacology immunology. So it made me immediately say there's got to be better ways for people to take nutrients. And then Genexa figured out a better way for people to take medications. And that's what attracted myself and this high-level advisory board to that company to support it. We believe this is the way medications have to go. We just cannot give our kids more toxic load. There's just too much out there already.
really, starting with the food and, you know, the too much activity. Those are easier things to look at. Getting that nervous system less stimulated, like Russell Blaylock does such a good job about talking about the colors that are in all these foods and even vitamins and drugs and how neurotoxic they are. So you're talking about bringing down that load and sneaking in more snacks that are healthy. That's what you have available in the house. That's what I do. I really did. My kids really didn't have the choice at home to eat a lot of toxic chemicals or yellow dye. It wasn't there. And if they wanted to get it when they got older, I didn't tell them they couldn't have it as long as they went and spent their own money to buy it. I'm just not going to, that's for sure.
Well, what I found with my daughter and with her friends, once I showed them the story and the message, and in my office I use Calm Keeper for children ages 3 to 11, for irritability and restlessness. There's no drug interactions. You can take it with other medications if you have to. It's not habit forming. Then I like to use stress relief for children 12 and over for fatigue, nervousness. And again, there's no drug interactions. It's safe to take, not habit forming. You can't say that about the medications that we're using for children. And so at Genexa.com, you can find it on Amazon.com. If you're looking for a solution, try these first, Calm Keeper for Children and Stress Relief by Genexa, before you go to your physician and look at a medication. But then bring in the things we've talked about. And I've really enjoyed talking with you today about the power of lifestyle medicine. It's really modeling behavior. And I think, I hope this happens to everyone when you have children. You know, people come see me and they think that we're talking about helping them live long lives. And I tell them, you know, if I make it to 100, great. But what I want to be is skiing with my grandchildren at 85. It's the quality of my days, not always the quantity. And really, that's what, when you have children, you immediately get that message. And it's helped me to get moms and dads healthier by looking at their kids. That if we can help you get healthy, they'll model your behavior. They'll eat what you eat. And when a patient tells me, oh, well, we have all these, my kids eat all these potato chips and all this candy and everything. Well, how did it get in the house?
Exactly.
Mom or dad brought it in the house. The five-year-old didn't. So it's really looking at your own behaviors and making good, healthy choices for yourself. These products from Genexa work for adults. But for kids, the Calm Keeper and the Stress Relief should be your first go-tos. And then supporting companies that are trying to do something new in a positive way, looking at an organic non-GMO delivery system. And my friends in medicine that I share this with, very few of them know that this even exists because they didn't think it was possible that someone could make them. And these two dads spent years trying to figure it out, and they figured it out. I just that's what's really attracted me to it. It's what's my passion right now, is spreading this message, and it's something I think really is timely because of all the other toxicity. Let's just not increase the toxic load on any of us.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a wonderful show. I will send you a link to it, Dr. Mark Menalasino, MD, medical doctor at menoclinic.com. And thank you, listeners, so much for joining us once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And please visit prn.fm, and also you can visit naturalnurse.com and get on board for the Ancient Medicine free docu-series. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.